Bill Flores joins us this morning from D.C. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Howdy, Scott. Doing great. Great to be with you on Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
Hey, let's talk. We'll talk the tax cut and continuing that in just a minute. But let's start, first of all, because earlier this week the president rolled his budget out, and obviously there's been Republican response as a party. Individually, I'd like to get your thoughts on the bullet points that you're happy with and not happy with.
Well, it's really what I would refer to as a fantasy budget. It totally doesn't reflect the fiscal or economic situation that the country's facing. First of all, he's proposing to spend about $4 trillion more over the next 10 years than what he'd proposed in his last budget, and that's the wrong direction to go. You know, he has had the competitiveness councils, and he's had deficit commissions, and each of these bodies of experts have made numerous recommendations to him about how to fix the economy, how to address the fiscal challenges that the country fails, how to address Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, which are all bankrupt. And this budget does not touch any of those things. I mean, it's remarkable how all this advice and these efforts that folks have invested in trying to make the country better are just ignored. And you basically come up with a political document to try to buy votes. I was really disappointed in it. So we're working on the House budget right now. We'll have something to roll out by the end of March.
Well, and again, that's certainly, once again, as we've talked about really almost from your first day there, that the House is doing their part, if you will, in that they are putting together budgets, and the Senate time and again has not done their job.
Absolutely, and that's what's even more disconcerting. The Senate is breaking the law, because the Budget Act of 1974 says that the president will prepare a budget on a certain date, and he's missed that date for 3 years in a row. It says that the Senate will prepare a budget, and which it hasn't done for 3 years running now, and that the House will prepare a budget, and it didn't do one for the 2 years prior to this year, prior to 2011. We did one, a transformational budget. So I'm really disappointed in Washington in terms of how they just don't pay attention to what the real world is expects of them.
Well, and speaking of real world, something that people are talking about every day they fill up their gas tanks, where we're going with gas prices right now. And I saw something yesterday that said the gas prices have gone up 83% during the administration. And I don't know how much of that we blame on the administration, but I think we're back to the point where people are going to be looking to Congress for some sort of relief from rising gasoline prices.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. I mean, my suspicion is, and I hate to say this, but I think it's going to be a long, hot, expensive summer, particularly when you're filling up your gas tank. The only good news that comes out of this is that when gasoline prices get high, that is the thing that seems to get Congress to start making wise energy decisions, and to get the president to make wise energy decisions. I wish we didn't have to do it. When I say we, I wish that the other side of the aisle didn't have to have that club beating them over the head to get them to make good decisions, but I think that's the case. But, I mean, all I have to say when it comes to energy is there's a choice of two futures. You can go the cylinder route or you can go the Keystone route. And for me, I'm going to vote for a Keystone route. I'm going to vote for expanded access to offshore areas, expanded access for oil shale drilling, all of the above approach by using our great public lands for solar and wind and other alternative forms of energy. To me, we need to be looking at everything, but the president seems to be focused on the cylinders of the world. By the way, we're now up to four companies that have failed or in trouble. You've got Cylinder, you've got Beacon Power, you've got Enter One, and now Fisker Auto, which is taking U.S. tax dollars to build cars in Finland, is about to go south.
Wow. Bill Flores joining us this morning from D.C. Well, speaking of clubs that can be used against the Republican Party, had the party possibly not gone along with the idea of extending the payroll tax cut, that could have hurt around election time. Tell me what it is that has caused the Republican Party to now shift to say that, yes, we're in favor of the payroll tax cut continuation, even though we don't know how that's going to be funded.
Well, in general, the conservative viewpoint has always been that you don't need to pay for tax decreases, because they essentially are already paid for through increased economic activity. In this case, because the unique nature of this tax cut, which is basically a reduced contribution to the Social Security Fund, we felt like we had to come up with a way to to save money from general expenditure, general fund expenditures to replenish the Social Security fund. And so that caused our leadership to look at this a little bit differently. It's never, again, it's never been a hard position. You had to have pay for it for tax cuts. So in my mind, I'd always looked at this matter differently than the extension of unemployment insurance benefits or the extension of the Medicare doc fix. Those I felt like absolutely had to be paid for.
So now the speaker had a closed-door meeting last night with you all to discuss
right.
this because obviously he's got to sell it to rank and file no matter how he stands on it. Are you sold on this? Is this something that you can vote for?
Based on what I know, all we heard yesterday was a summary of the conference. There was a handshake agreement on the House-Senate Conference Committee yesterday afternoon, and all I heard was a summary of the deal. And based on that, unless there's a big surprise, I would probably vote for this. And what it involves is another 10-month extension of the payroll tax cut. It's not paid for. Which I think will be paid for through increased economic activity.
Okay.
There is a 10-month extension of unemployment insurance benefits, but it also includes some dramatic reforms, which we were seeking. And then there's a 10-month extension of the Medicare doc fix, and that's also paid for. I don't like all the pay-fors, but nonetheless, this is an argument that on this whole issue that you're going to lose when it comes next November. So my feeling is let's get this one behind us and talk about the issues that are on the top of the minds of American people, and that's the American economy, that's jobs, that's the president's budget and the spending and the 24 million people that remain underemployed and the waste of money on Solyndra, the fast and furious operations. Things like that are the things we need to be talking about.
What do you say to the individual? I believe it was Newt Gingrich who said it in one of the presidential debates that we're talking 2 years of unemployment benefits. 2 years is enough time for you to get a degree from a community college to retrain yourself.
Right.
And yet now we're going to extend it yet another 79 weeks almost. How can you justify to your working constituency that you want to continue to extend unemployment benefits to those people who may not be trying to better themselves in this time other than just to take a government check?
Well, I would never try to defend the policy, the unemployment insurance, the way it's structured today. Because basically, if you lose your job, you can sit on your rear end for a year and a half without doing anything, and you can smoke dope and use your unemployment proceeds to pay for it and not have to look for a job or try to get reeducated or anything. That is changing in this. And so the way I would justify it is to say if you're going to draw unemployment insurance, then you need to be looking for a job from day one. You need to be getting yourself in order so that you can get a job, and that includes getting your GED or getting a community college degree or a four-year college degree, or you need to or completing your college degree or going to trade school to get a technical certificate. And then also you need to allow yourself to be drug tested so that you're not automatically excluded from getting a job because of drug use. So that's the way I would justify it. Also, the period of support time has been reduced. Now, this number was still a little fluid last night, from 99 weeks to 69 weeks,
okay.
I believe.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Now, okay, so the Republicans in the House have kind of laid themselves open for this, and yet Mitch McConnell, the head of the Republicans in the Senate, kind of got his arms folded across his chest saying, I'm not ready to support this thing in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
How's that make you feel?
Well, again, I need to look at all the details. What I saw last night in summary I thought was probably okay. Sometimes there are things up here where if you hold out long enough, or let me rephrase that, you can try to hold out for the perfect solution to every problem, but the perfect solution never comes because it is the legislative process is like making sausage. You've heard that,
sure.
That terminology used, and so you may never get the perfect piece of sausage out of the grinder. Again, the American people don't want to be talking about a payroll tax cut. They want to be talking about the economy and the president's budget and the 24 million people that are underemployed. They want to talk about where the money went on Solyndra and you know, how did the Justice Department justify letting 3,000 guns escape in Fast and Furious.
Finally today, is maybe out of the frying pan into the fire for the speaker, because next you've got a transportation bill out there. Big bill. I mean, this is going to affect every state, every congressional district almost. Yet there aren't going to be the, I think they had 6,000 earmarks in the last transportation bill. This is something that the speaker is going to try to push through. Is there going to be action on that this week? And how do you feel about the transportation bill?
Yes, it should be on the floor this week. And there are a bunch of amendments that are on the floor to be looking at. So the ultimate shape of this bill could look different by the end of the week than what it looks like today. In general, I support coming up with a long-term highway bill. We've gone from one short-term bill to another, and that's caused the construction. I mean, it's made life difficult for TxDOT, for instance, to be able to plan a long-term basis so they can address the transportation needs of the state. So we need a long-term bill, number one. Number two, it needs to be funded at adequate levels that use the gasoline tax in an appropriate manner. Number three, it needs to be reformed so that the federal government has less involvement and the states have more involvement. Number four is you need to strip out all the things where gasoline taxes were used for bike paths and beautification projects and building covered bridges and cobblestone streets, things of that nature, and dedicating that toward highways. You also need to make sure that the highway bill gives states back something that's pretty close to what they contribute in terms of the gas tax. So this bill does those things. It also has, since the gasoline tax is not enough to fully pay for it, it includes expanding access to domestic energy activities and using the federal revenues from those to fill the gap to help pay for it. So if you think about that long preamble, this bill does most of that. So now, there are certain parts of the bill that I don't like that I'm still trying to get my arms around, and I don't know how I'm going to vote on it yet. There are some conservative groups that have said that they want people to vote against it because they think all highway activity needs to be pushed back to the states.
Will we know before the vote how you're going to vote on this?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I've still got to look at all the details.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Hey, thanks for the time this morning,
Good
Bill.
Talking to you. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women.
All right.